Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
What broke him down? Was it
from the body punching?
I was hitting with body punching. I heard him actually crying in there.
You're saying that Big was crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen?
And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So you knew you had him by that
Absolutely.
Time?
Absolutely. I knew you were talking about taking those punches.
I'm a team like he's a C-plus fighter. I'm a dominant, I'm a dogless fighter. I'm talking about punishment. We're going to punch you for 12 rounds. Either the referee says you had enough, or you can say you had enough. You have to stay nasty all night until you ain't had enough.
Yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio, TBV in the morning, depending on what coast or region you're at. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. Call me Nest GTO. We're going to be talking some boxing. Man, this heavyweight division continues to develop. Future developments. Listen, don't hate us. I already see the comments. This can't be true. No way AJ's going to duck him. No way AJ's vacating the title. Well, all we do is report. It's only our job to talk about it, discuss it amongst you guys, and you can voice your opinion too. Call in 1-425-569-5241. International callers, hit us up on Skype. Just add me, Nestor Gibbs. You could see that right here on the screen below. The spelling of the name. Let's get it done, brother. Look, we got to talk a little bit of boxing here. The heavyweight division is exploding, so let's head on over to the Sunshine State.
Boxing, thing was going on, brother. I know you want to sit in on this.
We're going to head on over to the Sunshine
doctor,
State.
The Sunshine State.
Boxing MD. What's going on?
Is that a fair statement to make? You have to be honest with yourself.
I'm back again for another UK-based show, and although I am not as ignorant as some Americans, I'm the first one to admit that we do not know as much about the domestic level talk, or I guess you could say just media or whatever goes on behind the scenes, because we live thousands and thousands of miles away. That's why we encourage everybody who's listening in the present, past, or future. Shout out to Blackface, that you guys could call in and give your analysis or critique our ignorance. So, you know, it's the voice of the people, and the people encompasses all countries.
That's right. So back with us for the second time in a row, we have none other than our very own editor. And listen, if you want to, I don't know, if you have some aspirations of being a writer, you got, you know, you want to get a little bit of motivation, contact Matt, and maybe we can publish something that you write. But Matt, what's going on, brother?
Nothing much, guys. Just heard the news this morning, basically, because I didn't listen to the full interview by Coogan. And I just think it's fascinating that we have sanctioning bodies sort of restricting these big fights happening, in a sense. So just something that I really like to hear what you guys, the fans, the listeners, think about this, because I think this is fascinating to me, personally.
Fascinating in what sense? What do you mean?
I just think it's been, like, we've seen a trend now with the IBF, and the fact that the IBF is usually regarded as the one that always respects mandatories, like, the most, and we've seen the IBF sort of stand in the way from big fights happening, and I think that the IBF needs some sort of reform from this happening, basically. You know, like, the fact that we had all the heavyweight belts basically start to fall away from a unified champion is because of the IBF stripping Tyson Fury from his belt. And that's just one example of the IBF meddling in the hierarchy of the division. And I'd like to see that change. And I don't know how that we can see that change. But something that we need to see change.
Jack, just a little bit, just to add a little devil's advocate here. You know, you call them meddling, but what about for a guy like Errol Spence, who's waiting for his mandatory? If you don't have a sanctioning body that will strip, if you do not defend, then we will be criticizing them. I think that the IBF is very strict on making sure that their champions do defend their titles.
No, you're completely right. But I think that the two aren't mutually exclusive. We can say that, yes, the IBF is really good at propping up mandatories and making sure they get their shot. But we can also say that they are flawed in allowing the division to be unified. Can we not say that?
Well, listen, they didn't have any problems with Klitschko. You know, they didn't have, because Klitschko fought his mandatories. You know what I'm saying? Tyson did not want to do that. That was the different story. Now, there was an immediate rematch in place, but I'm pretty sure, like everything, negotiations, you know, would have fixed that. Maybe look at all the time that both Tyson and Vladimir have been out the ring. Maybe they should have just let Tyson go ahead and have that voluntary mandatory that he had to do with the IBF and then set up the fight with Klitschko down the line, possibly. But Matt, what have you? MD, doctor, what do you think about this whole situation? We're actually going to go to the audio.
Let me give my
audio first, right?
Let me just give my overall, I guess, respond to Matt kind of, and then we'll go to the audio, because then we get into more specifics. We talk about belts mattering and not mattering, right? And I think that once, let's hypothetically say that Joshua beats Klitschko, would the IBF belt really matter?
Well, it never mattered for Tyson Fury once he beat Klitschko. I think Joshua was more of a star, so it wouldn't matter for Joshua either. And that's the reason that we're doing a show where we're saying that Joshua is willing to vacate his title. Not my words.
There's probably three guys in boxing right now that the quest for unifications, although let's principally speaking, I'm for unifications, but three guys who the media and the marketing, or I guess the monetary pushback for not unifying the belts, wouldn't affect them. And that's Anthony Joshua, if he beats Klitschko, that is Canelo Alvarez and Manny Pacquiao.
Well, let me interject really fast. Hold on, Ness. The fact that we had, like with Tyson Fury getting stripped of the IBF, we had a guy like Charles Martin get promoted as a champion and get a huge payday against Anthony Joshua for a belt, right? So now Anthony Joshua has a belt. All that is pointless. It's still a paper title, right? Like, we all can agree with that. Like, that was a vacant belt that was stripped from the actual lineal champion. So now we have, I just see a domino effect of this sort of stuff happening with devaluing the belt, but it still doesn't translate to casuals understanding it. Me and you can understand the nuances of the alphabet soup title belts that we have, but casuals don't. That's why you have Anthony Joshua. That's why you have Charles Martin getting millions of dollars being paraded as a world champion when they're not.
Entirely different situation, because Joshua needed that belt, because that was the low hanging fruit, a no risk fight. And they paid for that belt because obviously, it's he needed to be a world champion. But now that, like I said, now that he beats, trust me, the casuals will keep buying Anthony Joshua's fight once he beats Klitschko. I think that we underestimate the level in which they need to do the things that the hardcores need. I mean, in other words, I'm just saying that rules don't apply when you get to that level.
All right, let's get to the audio, since we're 10 minutes in and we haven't given them, the audio so they can hear it themselves. Now, obviously, credit again to iFilm London TV. They did an excellent interview with Eddie Hearn, the promoter of Anthony Joshua and the promoter of, obviously, Matchroom, right? It is a very long interview, so maybe the, you know, thousands of people that watched that interview didn't make it to this part. And it's very interesting, this particular part. So I cut it out And credit to Coogan and credit to Eddie Hearn for being such an honest guy. But without further ado, the truth. Can you handle it?
What's the Poulet situation?
He's a manager for the IBF. Very similar situations to when Tyson Fury lost his IBF belt. It's almost impossible to keep all the belts unless you want to be in fights that you don't really want to be in. Does that make sense? Like, when we beat Vladimir Klitschko, do we want to fight Khabrat Poulev? Or do we want to fight Deontay Wilder? I'm horny for that fight.
Why'd you play the soundbite over the punchline, Ness?
Joshua. We'll have to face...
Khabrat Poulev for the IBF. Ortiz, that's not been called yet, so they might...
in line for the WBA.
When the mandatory's called. It will be 2017. But Poulev is, he's got to be next. So we either fight Poulev or, you know, we don't want to vacate the IBF title, but maybe fight Wilder for the WBC or Parker for the WBO. So it's really more about the fights, but also you want to collect as many belts as possible.
Do you believe he will fight Wilder next year?
Yes. Want that fight badly. Very difficult to take, once you fight Klitschko at Wembley and earn that kind of money, it's very difficult to move back into fights like Khabrat Poulev. But at the same time, he's still young. So once you go balls deep, you kind of never go back, do you?
MD, doctor.
Why'd you ruin Eddie Hearn's first punchline?
I didn't know that it was going to play like that. Mm-hmm. But what do you think of what you heard?
Well, I mean, Eddie Hearn has a weird... Ness considers him having a weird sense of humor. But to be honest, like, I like the fact that Eddie Hearn is out there. It is propaganda coming from a promoter, but... I like the fact that he's willing to speak and entertain the people, and he's doing well. But what I think about that is I agree that he's not moving. He's not going to be moving back in the sense that his name is increasing. But Wilder would be a bigger fight than Poulev. And somebody in the chat, and I looked this up myself, that according to many sources, that Poulev turned down a previous fight with Joshua. Maybe that's a way of saying you wouldn't fight us now. So why, you know, putting yourself into a mandatory, we're not going to give you that opportunity. But I think that from Pula's perspective, just to play devil's advocate, is that maybe the money wasn't right. You know, he needed that, what do we call it, retirement money before he fought AJ.
Yeah, but in the mandatory, he's only getting 25%.
25%, Ness? Of what? Think about that.
Of whatever the purse is.
Let's just say it's $40 million.
$40 million is the purse? Really? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Too many.
Ness, I'm saying 25% of a very large number is a lot of money.
I hear you.
So that's could be more money. I'm just playing devil's advocate. So it is what it is. But I'd never like dropping a belt to avoid a fight. It just looks bad from the outside perspective. But if he was to drop it and fight Wilder, there's no criticism. But the real question is that it's all hypotheticals, because who knows what Wilder's going to look like. I expect him to win because I think he could beat the guy who he's fighting in his next opponent with one arm. But who's to say that his thumb is going to be ready to fight again? And I think Eddie Hearn loves throwing out the big names and using Eddie Hearn's sense of humor, dick teasing us, and then coming back and then giving us a David Price. So, you know, that's kind of also a possibility, right?
Well, we on TBV know that Wilder will be ready for April, May for any big fight if all goes well with Warwick and he doesn't damage the hand. He's looking for Parker and Joshua or even Fury as early as April, May. But we know that Fury is not going to be available. So really all we got is Parker, right? Because Joshua would be just coming off of the Vladimir Klitschko fight, so he won't be available for May. Now, I think that Eddie knows how to promote, and that's what we need to emphasize, as well as emphasize the fact that you haven't hit the thumbs up button, but you're watching this video. You need to start realizing that hitting the thumbs up button shares the content. That being said, Eddie, like you said, he's masquerading what they're doing behind a sexy name, because even I am not inclined to scream and shout if you're telling me that at the end of the rainbow, the pot of gold is Deontay Wilder. I'm kind of like, I'm chilling. He kind of sedated me with that, you know? And I mean, I'm like, oh, shit, well, I could wait. Fuck it. I mean, you know, Joshua's already in a tough fight with Latterman. And if I just got to wait for him to vacate the IBF and next is Wilder, well, fuck, that's a great year for a heavyweight champion to fight Latterman and Deontay in 1 year. So why would I bitch and pout?
It's not just a great year. It's a year that he'd be automatic. If he managed to knock out both the fighters, he would be what all the casuals think he is, which is the second coming of Jesus Christ, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's a tall order to see a heavyweight do that. So I just don't – I think Eddie Hearn is a little ahead of himself by saying this, because what if it's a close fight and they have a rematch? I mean, what if – Joshua loses. Like I said, what if Wilder doesn't, he's not ready to fight again, or his hand's not 100%. So maybe he knows more than we do, or maybe he's just garnering attention for himself and for his future promotions. I think
he's laying down the groundwork. He's laying the alibi. He's laying down the alibi. It's like, yo, I got in mind Wilder versus Joshua. So if they start pushing this IBF bullshit, don't get mad when we vacate, because we already told you we'd rather fight Joshua. I think that's what this is. This is just laying down the alibi. But again,
but it couldn't be a fuck you to Pulev.
I mean, for turning down the fight a couple of times, maybe it could be. But we don't know the real reasons. You know, we don't know what really took place in those situations.
We don't know.
I know, Kanye.
Is so, there an immediate rematch clause in the Klitschko-Joshua fight?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, right?
Good question. No. Be interesting to...
But like from...
Been ducking me, man.
From a financial perspective, if it's a close fight and AJ loses, you think Eddie Hearn is not going to want to...
If it's a close fight and Klitschko wins, Klitschko's not rematching him.
I don't believe that. I mean, Klitschko does big business on his own, but this is big business. And he's going to soon realize that come fight night. And if he wins, Eddie can offer him big business again. The rematch sells.
The rematch with Tyson Fury sells more.
No.
Yes.
You're telling me if Joshua... And
if Klitschko beats Joshua, Klitschko should go beat Tyson Fury and get the lineal champion back. You don't think Tyson Fury in his first fight in May or April is going to be talking all this shit, saying, oh, Klitschko beat Joshua and I beat Klitschko. Like, he's nothing. He's a paper champ.
Yeah.
You don't think that's going to sell in the UK?
I get you. But, you know, you have this hardcore mentality where he has to somehow avenge this loss that the public doesn't care about. Like, that's why Tyson Fury's in depression or getting out of it, because we didn't accept his win the way that he wanted us to. It was like, oh, he won, but that shit was boring. Whatever. Stop talking about it. So, like, who the fuck is going to sign up for the rematch? They couldn't give that shit to me for free.
In terms of monetary value, right now, Anthony Joshua is bigger than Vladimir Klitschko and Tyson Fury put together.
I wouldn't debate that. Listen, let's take a call real quick. Let's see what the streets got to say. We actually got some alumni on both ends, on Skype and on the phone lines, but we're going to go out to...
I told y'all a long time ago, Kirkland will go down 3 rounds. All right, then.
Step me up. Next, I got milk, baby.
All the way from Atlanta. You got me on there? Am I on?
You're on now, brother.
All right.
Milkman in the house, Patreon subscriber all the way from Atlanta. If you ain't got Patreon, go get it right now. Listen, man, I can dig what Eddie Hearn is saying because they have the right to let the belt go. I can dig somebody saying, look, I don't want to fight you. It is what it is. And you know what? Because of that, I'm going to vacate the fucking belt. But I don't dig if the shit they're doing to somebody like Errol Spence, who's been waiting for his fucking shot forever, and they're finding a way to just keep fucking him from fucking competing for the title. So I can dig somebody saying, look, I don't want to fight you for whatever reason, whether it be money or for whatever reason. But if you vacate the belt, I'm all good with it. I'm good with that. So let them go make their money, because we all know once you start getting check increases, you don't want to fall back. All right. You want those numbers to keep going up. So I can dig what he's saying, man. So it's all good. That's my call.
All right, Milkman. Thanks for calling in. You know, there is a double standard, right? There's that mandatory situation. Like, you see how guys want Kell Brook to fight Earl, but there's other mandatories, like, for instance, Joshua, where we don't mind it, even though this one is different. You know, like Milkman stated, you know, he will be vacating the title, but there's plenty, like the Khan situation. You know, Brook is talking about taking a tune-up, then possibly fighting Khan. I mean, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, Brook really is. He dared to be great. He should have dropped that belt, because I really think it's unfair what's happening to Errol Spence, because he put himself in a position to get a shot at a belt, and the kid deserves a shot.
But I think, listen, the truth is, MD, that these boxing fans are not uneducated, it's just misinformed. They don't really have too many outlets to get truthful information. And the fact of the matter, like his trainer told us here on the interview not too long ago, a couple of days ago, purse bid is until like the end of January or something like that. So, you know, even after that, you got to think 90 to 60 days later is when fight night would be. So I think they already knew it was going to be late first quarter.
But so the fact that they're having a purse bid means that they kind of expect the fight to happen?
Well, no, they don't have a purse bid. That is the date the purse bid will be in place if they cannot come to an agreement by then.
That's right. So what's going to happen is either Errol Spence is going to be able to fight his mandatory, or his, Kell Brook's is mandatory and Errol Spence, and get a shot at the title, or Kell Brook is going to drop his belt.
Why are we comparing Povlev to Spence? I think that's like the worst comparison possible. Spence could be the best guy in the division. Povlev is definitely not the best guy in the division. So that's an awful comparison. Povlev
still would be a good name on you know, Joshua's resume. And if like me and MD were talking about it, like if Wilder fought Povlev next, some might argue that Povlev is the best fighter on his resume.
Or if Joshua fought Povlev instead of Klitschko, some might argue that I think that's by far his best opponent. If it would be Povlev, obviously not Klitschko.
Let's get out to these international calls. We got a couple of UK guys. We're going to go out to my man, Boxing Evolution. What's going on, brother? Yes, sir, you're up.
Yeah, cool, man. I just took a little bit of issue with what your producer guy was saying about Fury can outsell Joshua. Not on his best day. Never, ever, ever would Fury outsell Joshua in the UK, man. I don't even care if Joshua loses, because with our fighters, what happens is even when they lose, the UK guys still ride with them. We don't, you know, shun them to the side or nothing like that. So, I don't know. I think that he was still outsell Fury against Klitschko, definitely.
Yo, if he loses, Eddie Hearn will talk about him having a head cold, and the casuals will buy it up. I'm not joking.
No, hold on. Let me answer to this caller. I just think the rematch of Klitschko and Fury with the loss of Anthony Joshua, if Anthony Joshua loses, I think could outsell the rematch of Anthony Joshua. I just think that. I like I said, it's an opinion. I could be completely wrong. But I will agree that, like MD said, Joshua is the biggest moneymaker in boxing. Like, that is a fact. I think that particular rematch with Fury and Klitschko is a big moneymaker. Fury by himself is not the moneymaker Joshua is, but that particular matchup is a big money fight.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. I'll give you a little example. when Ricky Hatton got his got a check hook from Mayweather, he still was able to bring a whole load of fans from the UK still to come and watch him fight Manny Pacquiao. It's like we love a lovable loser. Like in the UK, it's weird. We're weird like that. So I don't think Fury, like even in the rematch, I just disagree with that. I don't think that Fury would be able to, even with his mouth and everything like that, I don't think he'd be able to top Joshua. Not over here. No way. Just as my opinion.
Well, all right, Boxing Evolution. Let me get to some other callers, man. Thank you for calling in.
Cool.
I know it's hard. You don't have much of a connection over there, but let's get to another international caller.
Remember me? I'm Stuart Little. I'm Stuart Little.
Can you hear me now?
Loud and clear, my friend. How you doing?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. I was going to ring in last night. I fell asleep, mate. Sorry, but I'm ringing in today. Couple of things I want to talk about. I don't believe Kell Brook is ducking Errol Spence. I think he's waiting to see if the Khan fight's going to happen, mate. I think he's got two options, and obviously the Khan fight's going to be a lot more money for him.
Stu, is taking the Khan fight ducking, though? Because
it's a cherry pick. It's not a duck. It's a cherry pick. Two different things.
You give me £5 million, you can call me anything you want, MD.
Fair enough. Yeah, but we're hardcore boxing fans, so we could call a spade if we want to. Is that fair, too?
That would be a Stuart. That would be you using the shovel to dig a deep hole, because if that's the case, they're paying Wilder big money to fight the guys he's fighting, and no one's happy about that.
Well, like I said, Kell Brook and Khan's not really a duck. It's a bigger fight, if anything. You know, at the end of the day, a British battle will always make more money in the UK than a world fight will. A world battle. It's just how it is. We like our own domestic battles. So I can see where he's coming from. It's a lot more money. Errol Spence is a dangerous guy. And if you're going to fight a guy that's a lot more dangerous than Amir Khan, do you want like less than half the money for it? It don't make sense, does it? So at least take the Khan fight, then fight Spence. Pay him a few hundred grand to step aside and Bob's your uncle. I just want to talk about the Joshua situation. Now, I don't think belts really matter too much in boxing these days, but where it does come in is they help sell pay-per-views to the casual. If a guy hasn't got a belt, it's a hard sell, if you know what I'm saying. But a lot of the time, these belts don't really mean anything. So, anyone that says Anthony Joshua is going to duck Pulev to fight Wilder, you've got to be out of your mind, because Wilder's a lot harder fight. It's going to get him paid a lot more money. So that's not a duck, you know. So I don't know where people are going with this. I mean, Anthony Joshua, 18 fights this guy's had, and unbelievable the risk he's going to be taking. You know, if he gets through this one, his 19th fight's going to be hopefully Wilder. I'm not sure Wilder's going to take that still. I'm still thinking he's going to want another tune-up, you know, to check his hand out. Big fight for him. Not sure he's going to be... I've got a feeling that could be the end of the year, if it happens. So that's all I got to say with that one. And I just want to quickly give my... prediction for James DeGale, Badu Jack, because I tried to ring up the other day and I couldn't get through them. The mic weren't working. And I actually think it's a very hard fight.
Well, Stu, we're still doing a prediction show on Fight Week Thursday like we normally do. That was just so callers could call in and be a little bit more elaborate as to why they feel a certain guy is going to pick. Since on the Thursday show, you're normally rushing. It's more like, yeah, I'm picking Wilder. I'm picking James DeGale. I'm picking Pedraza. And you don't really get to elaborate on as to why you think Gervonta Davis is going to beat Jose Pedraza, or why Pedraza is going to beat Davis for that matter. But I want to thank you.
Stu, let me ask Stu a question, because he did say something very interesting. I just want to press him on it because I just want to hear his response. Did you have a problem with Canelo vacating his belt and avoiding GGG?
Well, I can answer that. I mean, Canelo vacated. It wasn't vacating for a bigger fight. See, Joshua was vacating for a bigger fight, in Stu's opinion.
What if he fought Cotto again?
Yeah, but it's like this, boys. At the end of the day, Canelo Alvarez don't care about belts. He's made that clear. He doesn't care. All he does is fight for belts. It looks good on pay-per-view, fight for a title. That's it. He's such a star now. Belts don't... It's like Floyd. Floyd used to win these belts and throw them away in the bin afterwards. So... But these belts have lost a lot of shine. We all know that. We've got Chris Eubank fighting for an IBO title that he seems to think.
I just think that
If well, don't discredit that title too much. Remember that, you know, Klitschko held it for years, and so did Gennady, still has his. So. Yeah.
I just think if Kell Brook's as good as a lot of people think he is, I don't know why he doesn't take care of his mandatory and then fight Amir Khan. Because if he wasn't serious about continuing in that division, because Khan has no belt. So even Stu, you said yourself, then they'll adopt, then they're going to vacate the belt and fight for no belt. So it is much more difficult over there to fight for a no belt. You know, I don't even know how they sanction it 12 rounds. I guess they make up a diamond belt if one of the organizations chooses to sanction, but they would be fighting for no belt, both coming off knockout losses. It still is a bigger financial fight than Spence, but I just think that it is a little hypocritical just to, you know, act
this
like
is the most talked about fight. I swear this fight better end up being as good as all these. I mean, we can't talk about boxing without somebody talking about Brook and Spence.
I just don't see how it's competitive, but that's because I think that Khan's chin is so bad that Brook.
I'm not even talking Brook Khan. I'm talking about Brook Spence. I mean, these guys get mentioned damn near every single show.
Because it's a sexy fight for hardcores, but Spence is not that big in the realm, especially over there yet. So I see the other side's perspective, I guess, whatever.
Let me get out to some callers here. We got 757. I believe this might be Virginia, right?
Yeah.
Talk to us, brother. Who's this? M Stacks?
Yeah, this is M Stacks, man.
What up? What up? Talk to us, brother.
Man, IBF, you know, they always been funny with the belt. I mean, I forgot who Charles Martin fought for the belt. Just to get that belt, you know what I mean? And, you know, that was after stripping Tyson Fury, you know, suddenly, you know, they didn't give him no time to do anything. This was before the breakdown. They stripped him way before that. I think that same week, if I'm not mistaken. Do y'all remember that?
Yeah, as soon as he won that title. And that's what Eddie Hearn was saying, you know, it's the same situation. It's like, yo, you're in a big fight, and here goes the IBF breathing down your neck to defend your title.
Yeah, and it don't make no sense, you know. And if the IBF is like that, then, I mean, I guess the Spence and Brook situation, he's going to have to vacate because Kell Brook ain't going to fight Errol Spence.
Oh, my God. I thought we were talking Joshua. I told you, man, that is the fight of the fans. That all they want to talk is Brook Spence. This is crazy. They need to put that shit on pay-per-view. Since y'all love it so much.
Stop this. Don't encourage pay-per-views, Ness. Hey,
you guys the one can't get it off your mind. They might as well make y'all pay for it.
Oh, and can I say one more thing about the pay-per-view model? I do believe that the pay-per-view model is still alive. People keep referring to the, I call it MVP, Mayweather versus Pacquiao situation, but after that fight, Canelo and Cotto still did 900,000. And, you know, both of those guys by themselves maybe do 300,000 fights.
But that's unique because we're talking about the most popular Mexican fighter and the most popular Puerto Rican fighter by far. So that,
And that's the formula that makes pay-per-view work. Not fighting these no-names like Jesse Vargas or Liam Smith. You know what I'm saying? Now, versus Canelo, how many pay-per-view buys would you get?
A million?
You know what I'm saying? That's a million right there.
The hangover, I think people will forget about the Mayweather Pacquiao, but I did think it had an effect. I don't think it's long term, but consumers in general have quick, you know, they have goldfish memory. So yes, it had an effect, but I think people are over that in general.
M Stacks, man, thanks for calling in. We're going to New York City. 718, you're up. It might be Suleiman.
Yeah, how you doing? How you doing, Ness? Yeah, so I think the biggest mistake in his career at this time, by this young career that he has, for Anthony Joshua is to vacate that belt. I think he could negotiate. If he has to pay, at the end of the day, he has to pay, man. Pay, pay Copa Palov, work something out, get attorneys, right? Anything's a big-time promoter. Get some attorneys, work something out, and keep that belt. That kid is doing fantastic with that belt. I think that's the worst thing he would do. He burn a bridge with the IBF. The IBF is a respectable, sanctioning world class, you know, keep that belt unified. to use the platform that Evander Holyfield did. If sometimes you got to pay these guys. You got to pay them to sit on the bench. So you
well, so Amon, would you still say that if he actually fought Josh Wilder next, got the WBC, and hypothetically knocked out Wilder? Again, this is hypothetical. Yeah, would you still say that's the worst decision of his career?
Okay, but wait. He wants to be a unified champion. At the end of the day, he's going to have to go back to the IBF belt and get that. Might as well pay the money now, keep the belt, unify with Josh Wilder. Not, you know, I don't think it's a good move, but the best time to get Wilder is when he's injured. You know, if he's going to win a fight, he's the best time to win that fight. Keep the IBF belt, pay the people who they let him eat, because IBF have to eat too. You know what I'm saying? Pay him a little money. If he wants to take that route and fight Wilder next, then do it. No way, but keep the belt. That's the best thing he ever did. He's a world champion. Keep that belt. Follow the platform of a world champion. If he has to fight Kobrat and they tell him, look, you got to fight this guy and you want the money, then fight Kobrat and let the other guys wait in line. I mean, follow the platform that Marvin Hagler follow. This is a world champion, man. You know, little kids idolize this guy.
But Suleiman, you're older than any of us here. You understand that Marvin Hagler used the belts to force guys to fight him because he was not getting the same type of financial backing like Sugar Ray Leonard did, like Duran did, like some of the bigger guys did. Anthony Joshua, and it's a different day and age, that he doesn't need the belts to force big fights.
Listen, I'm interrupting you right now because it's my call. You got a lot of time to talk to. So right now, the same thing that happened to Marvin Hagler is happening to him. You guys don't want to fight this guy. Guys don't want to fight him. He's athletic. You know, I seen it in the Molina fight. He has legs. Okay, he's athletic. He's not as lethargic as people think. The kid hits hard. So what the payday? You guys don't want to get in there. So he's having the same problem Marvin Hagler. So what he should do is unify the belts, right? If he can. And if the sanctioning body says, look, you got to fight Kobrat Poloff, and Kobrat Poloff want to pay out, then all the other guys got to win online, like dominoes, man. Because, the kid is young. He's a role model to a lot of people. There's British fans talking about this guy all day long. All they talk about, Anthony Joshua. Come on, man. Keep that belt. Defend that belt. Follow instructions from the IBF. Keep that belt and then unify with the other guys. Because Wilder's not relinquishing his belt. Wilder's fought a couple other guys. Wilder got hurt. He didn't relinquish his belt. Follow the same platform, man. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if he's that good, they're going to be unified champion anyway. He's going to fight. Let's say he beat Kobrat Poloff. He's going to fight with Klitschko, one of the other guys. If Klitschko don't want to win.
Suleiman, thanks for calling in, my friend. We got to get to some other.
Let me respond to Suleiman's. Listen. I try to help Suleiman dig himself out of graves, you know, before he continues. He says things like Wilder didn't relinquish his belt. Wilder has one belt. So this is entirely different upon dropping one belt and choosing to fight something else. And like I said, there's no way that if he drops the belt and fights Wilder next and gets the WBC belt, that in the future, Anthony Joshua can't just pick up that IBF belt, whoever has it, whether it's Pulev or whoever else. Because at that point, if he beats Klitschko and Wilder in the same year, he is what the casuals think he is, right?
That is for sure. 832, you're live on TBV. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Oh, we don't have new producer today, huh?
Nah, he's in training. We got a new guy.
New guy, he got to step it up, you dead. But we gonna call it Training D. We gonna call it Training D, you hear me? But look here, you dead, man. Look, Joshua, I think he need to go ahead and take that route MB talking about. Me and MB, we don't agree all the time. But like, man, you get both of them dudes in 1 year, man. Come on, man, you got to. They're going to be talking about the king is back. He has arrived. You can't tell me they ain't going to be saying that. He already making the most money right now. What you think he going to do? He beat Klitschko and Wilder in the same fucking year? Come on, man. Who worried about Tyson Fury at that?
I agree.
What I'm saying? And then, MD, you give Tyson Fury a whole lot of credit for beating Klitschko in the fucked up fashion that he did. If Joshua beat him, you're going to see a totally different, like, performance. you're going to see a real heavyweight performance. If he beat Klitschko, it ain't going to be by no fucking...
Yeah, but okay.
Like dancing and,
how is it fucked up, though?
It's going to be a fucking knockout.
But how is it fucked up, though?
See from heavyweights, man. We don't want to see nobody dancing with the stars, man.
Yeah, but he didn't cheat. It was...
I don't want to watch two guys at 250 pounds dance, man. I want the welterweight division for that.
Did you like how Floyd beat Maidana in his second fight? Did you like how Floyd beat Maidana in his second fight?
Errol Spence. Man, don't take that step aside money, man. Fight, man, take your shot. You don't never know when you're going to get another shot. Take your fucking shot, man. You never know when you're going to get that chance again. Go ahead, take that fight. If he don't want the fight, you don't have to drop the belt. You fight somebody else for it. You only got one shot to get that title, baby. That's my call.
All right, N.O., thank you for calling in.
Well, since you wouldn't address the obvious questions that I was asking him, which I do because it enhances the quality of the show because although it is your call, this is a show that I spend a lot of time working on as well as with Ness. And you say fucked up. That's your opinion. Obviously, it wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing fight, but it just doesn't really – I just don't see it. I never said that if Joshua wouldn't beat Klitschko, he wouldn't get the utmost credit, obviously. But I just, you know, people are hating on Fury a lot more than I people call me a hater on Fury, but I think what Fury did was remarkable against Klitschko.
2-2-4, you're up. Who's this?
What's up, y'all? It's your boy. You're right, MD. They don't give Fury enough credit. But basically how he beat him. But this your boy Mello. What up, Ness?
Oh, Mello, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, y'all? I think it's this, man. With the IBF, didn't y'all just report, it was a couple shows ago, that the WBA said that the winner of the fight had the Klitschko, Joshua fight had the fight, was it Ortiz?
Yeah, but they still haven't mandated it yet. They still haven't mandated. What we're going to do is we're going to play the audio one more time from Eddie Hearns after your call. So feel free to stick around so you can hear the audio directly from Eddie Hearns.
I am from. All right, that's cool. But as far as the Cal Brook and Khan, like.
We're not talking Cal Brook Khan. We're not talking Cal Brook Khan. That was a caller. We're not.
I know.
I think that was Milkman started that mess up.
I want to relate it. Yeah, my bad. All right, back to the – but Pulev, he was already beat by Klitschko a few years ago, if I'm staying correct. It's like, why don't they let somebody go ahead and try to unify, man? If they're going to start throwing all these – I'm not saying you're not supposed to fight your mandatories because you are, but if they start throwing all these different mandatories from these different sanctions, how are you going to get a unified champ? That's my call. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. If you want to be a unified champ, you can't be dropping titles. But I do understand dropping titles to unify with a bigger champion to make it a bigger event. Speaking of big events, I mean, if you're liking the show, make this a big drama show like Gennady Golovkin. Hit that thumbs up button. Get this show in front of the eyes of many. Let's go back out to our
– And he's not taking a step. If you just look purely from getting all the belts perspective, this is not like the rematch of the Klitschko – Fury fight where a belt was taken out of the equation. He's just switching belts. He's saying, see an IBF belt, I'm going to take the WBC belt from Wilder. So if you're just looking at that, it's a sidestep.
Lewis's or Ortiz's other mandatory, isn't that another duck? Because isn't that a better mandatory than Pulev?
Well, Lewis Ortiz hasn't been mandated yet. They said that was going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. So they're just waiting. Let's get out to Skype. We're going to go. Listen, I know you're there, Jason. We're going right to you after Scorsese. Talk to me.
Yeah, I was just on the IBF page the other day looking at some rules, and I don't see how they could strip him if he's trying to unify. They rules say you could fight a unified, you could fight a champ in a unification match. Is something about something I'm missing?
He's already fighting a champion. Remember, the WBO is on a WBA is on the line for this fight.
No, I actually agree with Scorsese on this one. I agree with you.
See, what happens is if he say Klitschko, he beat him 7-5, or Klitschko beat Joshua 7-5, and they like, we got to do it again. then somebody getting stripped. If they fight, Wilder, the rules say they unifying the title and the mandatory got to wait. And just to clear up a point for Spence taking step aside money, I ain't going to stay on it. IBF mandatories can't take step aside money. It's the next man up if you say no or take step aside money. IBF ain't playing that shit. That's the best thing for boxing. But I think that's what the rules state. I think that's what I remember reading. But as far as Joshua Wilder, if he beat Joshua Klitschko, I know he's been off a year. Klitschko kind of did some of that shit to himself. He had fights that he didn't go through with, and he like an A-side type dude. If Joshua knock his ass out, nobody going to remember what Fury did. Nobody going to care to remember because he wanted to go get high and play with his nose after he won the title and shit. That's his problem. He fucked himself up. If he knock out Wilder after that, he need a fight after Klitschko because I don't want nobody to come on and say he knocked out Klitschko. He the fight of the year. No, he need to knock out a Wilder next, and then we can start talking about fight of the year and shit like that, or Ortiz or somebody like that. But I think the bigger mandatory would be he might not be able to sidestep the WBA because once they set something in stone, maybe they keep that shit. And ain't that like Luis Ortiz? So I don't know. Maybe they do fight this shit. Maybe they don't. Wilder getting knocked out by Joshua. Klitschko getting knocked out by Joshua. Everybody getting the damn ring with him getting knocked out by Joshua. And that's how it is, man. That's my call.
All right, let's go to a new
one. 1 second, producer. Is there any way that you could fact check that unification aspect?
He's checking it right now.
I'm doing that right now. Okay. I'm doing that right now.
Let's go to a new caller. Let me know where you're calling in from, Jason. Jason, where are you calling in from, my friend?
UK, Scotland.
Scotland. So talk to us, man. The situation here, Eddie. Actually, I'm going to place you on mute for just 1 second. Don't go away. I'm going directly to you. I just want to go ahead and play the audio for anybody that might be just tuning in and doesn't know exactly what's going on. This is not us just speculating. This is coming from the horse's mouth, that horse being Eddie Hearn.
What's the Pulev situation?
He's a manager for the IBF. Very similar situations to when Tyson Fury lost his IBF belt. It's almost impossible to keep all the belts unless you want to be in fights that you don't really want to be in. Does that make sense? Like, when we beat Vladimir Klitschko, do we want to fight Khabrat Pulev? Or do we want to fight Deontay Wilder? I'm horny for that fight.
So, the winner of Klitschko and Joshua will have to face
Khabrat Pulev for the IBF. Ortiz, that's not been called yet, so they might.
In line for the WBA.
When the mandatory's called, it will be 2017. But Pulev he's got to be next. So we either fight Pulev, or I don't want to vacate the IBF title, but maybe fight Wilder for the WBC or Parker for the WBO. So it's really more about the fights, but also you want to collect as many belts as possible.
Do you believe he will fight Wilder next year?
Yes. I want that fight badly. It's very difficult to take, once you fight Klitschko at Wembley and earn that kind of money, it's very difficult to move back into fights like Khabrat Pulev. But at the same time, he's still young. So once you go balls deep, you kind of never go back, do you?
Jason, talk to us. What is your thoughts on that audio? What do you think about the timeline Eddie Hearn has planned out for Anthony Joshua and the route that they're taking?
I think he's only got one option, really. I mean, if he goes in against Klitschko and he beats Klitschko, as Eddie Hearn says, he's already got something going by deep. Hello?
Yep, you're live.
Yeah, I'm saying is if he goes in against Klitschko and beats Klitschko, I mean, I don't think the British public would accept I reckon it's a step back against Pulev. I mean, you've got to go, if you go in against Klitschko, I mean, you have to go Wilder. I mean, it's all going to be pay-per-view. You're not going to sell Klitschko 80,000 at Wembley and then go back and sell, 12,000 against Pulev.
Fight Nestor Gibbs. AJ could fight Nestor Gibbs from the Boxing Voice and do 40,000. And you know that.
What's that going to say?
I'd be his biggest fight till date. I'd be his biggest fight till date. I'd soften him up for Wilder. I'll tell you that right now.
You'd probably be Wilder's biggest fight too.
Yo. That's hilarious.
But no, it's true. I think that's it. The only way he's got to go. But then he has the only other problem he has. If he knocks out Klitschko and then he knocks out Wilder, where do we go from there?
I mean, if he knocks out Klitschko and Wilder, he could basically hang it up as the best heavyweight of this generation.
That's true. But then, there is no bigger fight than them two, is there? So then it's a catch 22, isn't it?
Well, the Dark Horse Fury's there. Eventually, Fury will come back. You say that there's no other options.
Yeah, I mean, Fury and Joshua. I mean, yo, yeah.
We all hear sometimes tend to think of purely from a hardcore perspective. But do you really think that they wouldn't make money off a David Haye fight or even a
David Price
fight or Dillian White rematch? Or all these other fights that we all don't necessarily think that competitive and step back, but there's no step back in terms of Joshua's rise to superstar. He already is a superstar, but whatever, increasing his notoriety, right?
Jason, I just hope come end of February, Klitschko doesn't put out a press release saying his calf is hurt or his Achilles heel or his ankle or his toe or something, because he always got an injury close to the fight.
It's true. He's just getting old, though.
Yeah, he's pushing that 40. Listen, Jason, thank you for calling in. We're going to get to some other callers. We're going to wrap this one up, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to 970. You're live on TBV. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Oh, what's up, player? It's your boy, Hand Wraps. I ain't called in a minute.
Hand Wraps, what's up?
What's up, man? Hey, listen, I just want to give TBV the props to do for all the, hard work you guys putting in. Appreciate you, fellas. Right to it, I guess. Joshua is going to kill Klitschko. We all know that. So, looking forward to the future. I think it'd be wise for Fury to get his shit together, man. I mean, I know he's a cheater. I know he'd be fucking, pumping that fucking vampire blood. But, that motherfucker's got to get his shit together, because if he could find a way to snatch that Wilder matchup, I think Wilder walks through Fury, and then it'd be a beautiful, mega fight once we got that, the two losers, Klitschko, Fury, they can have their shitty-ass rematch. Ain't nobody going to give a fuck. We're going to have a super fight, and to be honest, I think that boy Joshua might take out that boy Wilder. I don't know. That young tiger blood. And he don't be getting tested, right?
Yeah, you seen what that tiger blood did to the man that invented that little statement.
Yeah, but Joshua ain't getting tested, right?
Well, he's being tested in the UK with Okada, I think it's called. Matt, help us out here, Mr. Heavyweight. Expert.
It's UCAD, United Kingdom Anti-Doping.
Boom.
Okay. So he's still juicing, I see.
Hand wraps.
I don't know, man. I think I think Ortiz and Parker needs to be set up on the real, and that needs to be the follow up to the winner of the Joshua Wilder for just
that's gonna be hard, man. Listen, Hanraz, let me get to some other callers, but that's going to be hard. Guys need to start understanding that Joseph Parker is now with Bob Arum. He doesn't really do much, co-promotions. We got another new caller here. I want to say it's Arun. Arun, you ready?
Hold on, Ness. Hold on.
You?
I just want to clarify the earlier statement by Scorsese, I believe, about the IBF. There is a clause in there that states it has to meet the approval of the IBF committee. So, yes, while they can take voluntary bouts to unify the division, they have to get approval of that by the IBF.
In lieu of a mandatory? In lieu of it, you're saying?
Yes, in lieu of a mandatory, yes.
So if the IBF says, see, that's the thing. It's like,
so the IBF has the complete power to say, yes, you can go fight Wilder and keep your belt.
Yeah. So if Eddie Hearn goes through the process and asks the IBF to allow them to unify and they say no, then fuck the IBF. But yes, if Eddie Hearn just drops the belt without doing that, it'll be weird.
Let's get back out to the international callers. Arun, first time calling in, my friend?
Yes, first time call. Great show.
Where are you calling in from, my brother?
UK, Birmingham.
Nice, nice, nice. So talk to us, man. Obviously, this is a topic that is, you know, close to home. What should Anthony Joshua do in this bit of a knicker that he finds himself in?
I mean, first of all, let's talk about Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn is a amazing salesman. He's the best salesman you're going to get in the UK. What he's done with Anthony Joshua, if you look at Anthony Joshua, his boxing style, he lacks boxing ability. He's just a big, powerful guy. His muscles is going to get him through fights. He's a bulldozer. He's just so powerful. He's just going to bulldoze every single opponent. And if we look at the heavyweight division at the moment, there is no amazing heavyweight person out there. I wouldn't even say Deontay Wilder is an amazing heavyweight boxer. With boxing ability, the best boxer in the heavyweight division is Tyson Fury. The way he beat Klitschko, if that was Mayweather, they would have said he is the pound-for-pound greatest boxer ever. The way he moved around the ring, he's got clear boxing ability. Anthony Joshua, if you see him, he's a bit wooden. He's a bit, he's a bit robust. He doesn't move around the ring freely. He's just a machine. He's just a bodybuilding machine. Who should Anthony Joshua fight next? I think he'll beat Klitschko quite easily. I mean, once he lands on Klitschko, I think Klitschko's going down. Next, Anthony Joshua, he should fight probably Wilder, but I'd love to see him fight Fury. For me, that's the biggest heavyweight match in the UK.
Well, Arun, thank you for calling in, my friend. We're going to get to some other callers. We got to wrap this one up. I see a few people here that I might know. It looks like, all right. Amin, talk to me.
Fellas, real quick, I don't know why he would vacate the belt to avoid Povlev unless it was less money involved or the fight conflicted with the Klitschko date. Because to me, it's an easy fight unless there's something we don't know. I mean, the IBF isn't even like a really popular title or a title that holds enough leverage. Their sanctioning body isn't really the most, I mean, all of them are pretty crummy, but you know what I'm saying? So I get vacating the IBF, but at the same time, it's like we're talking unification with Wilder, and this cat is letting belts go. I'm just curious. Somebody can answer that. I don't want to hold up the line no longer.
Well, all right. I mean, well, Eddie Hearn made it clear that it's over money. We're going to go to Alex. Talk to me.
What's going on, Box of Voice, man? Thanks for the show. Hey, I want to say I like what Eddie Hearn is saying. I mean, after Klitschko, I mean, Wilder is the fight that everyone's going to want to see, and it's the fight that's going to sell. I mean, Povlev's not going to sell like Wilder versus AJ. And somebody said AJ was the biggest draw in boxing right now, and I have to disagree with that. Canelo owns that all day. But I did have one question I want to end it with is boxing and MD. You said you give Fury respect, and then I was going to say, with your focus on Nevada testing and all that, why give Fury any respect when he keeps disrespecting boxing?
Because, to be fair, Klitschko wasn't doing Nevada testing either.
All right. Let's get
I mean, to- is that not a good point, Alex?
All right point.
No, great. It is the point. It's a level playing field. It's a level playing field with
the yin and yang guys right here. As soon as MD says something, Matthew's like, no, it's a good point, but it's not the right point.
I speak facts and he bickers.
Let me get to Brooklyn. Too Tough. Talk to us. Brooklyn. Alex, you there?
Yeah, what's up?
All right, just making sure.
No, that was.
No, I'm just making sure it wasn't us. So it looks like Too Tough is away from the phone at the moment and won't be able to get to us. So it is about that time, ladies and gentlemen. This was just a little breaking news, a little something I had in the cut, something that I've been wanting to talk to you guys for some time. We finally got an opportunity to do it. Shout out to Coogan Cassius again with iFilm London or iFilm TV. Definitely doing his thing. Great interview with Eddie Hearn. Shout out to Eddie Hearn for, like I said, keeping it honest. I know a lot of people say that he is not honest, right? But name another promoter that is so open. Yes, it's only with Coogan, but so what? Mayweather was always open only with Ben Thompson of Fight Hype. And the thing is, you know, it is what it is. At least we get the information, which is what's important. The timeline for Anthony Joshua will be defeat Vladimir Klitschko if he can in April, vacate that IBF title, avoiding Khubrat Pulev, and then trying to unify with Deontay Wilder. If that happens, I don't know. It seems like a long yellow brick road that we would have to follow. But I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO, and you can find The Good Doctor.
You can find me at BoxingMD1 on Twitter, and I think, Ness, you should rephrase honest to entertaining and out there or accessible.
Yeah, he's definitely
honest.
Yeah, that's
there hasn't been better. There hasn't been a promoter that's been honest in the history of the sport of boxing.
Listen, honest. Before our producer in training gives out his information, remember to hit that thumbs up button. You could always hit that in the future, present, or past. It doesn't matter. All you're doing is showing that you love the content. By doing that, it makes us come back for more. Speaking of more, we got a KO of the Year show all ready to go. Let us know. The thumbs up indicate that. We could be right back in a matter of hours, depending on the availability of the guys. But Matthew, Hunter, let them know where they can find you, brother.
At Mixed Combat Radio on Twitter and at Mixed Combat on Facebook.
All right. Now we got, like I said, KO of the Year lined up. And maybe we could sneak in another one during the week to catch us all up. We definitely have to finish giving out the awards. The Fighter of the Year is doing exceptionally well on Blog Talk. So shout out to all our podcast listeners. Remember, if you're listening to this on a podcast, whether that be in the gym, your long walks, it doesn't matter. Drop us that 5-star review. Help another person find the show the way that you did. Listen, I am your host, NestGTO. Find us in a couple of hours or so. Definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel so you get those notifications. We'll be back with more as the news breaks. Later.